Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. And we're talking about resist not evil. And that means not to pit yourself against evil. You do not fight against the darkness. You do not fight against evil. You don't cooperate necessarily with evil. You don't make covenants with evil. You don't create relationships with evil, depend upon evil. And what is evil? Evil is violation of the Ten Commandments. Going against the principles and precepts of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments aren't laws like you see laws in statutes and governments where they say, if you do this, we punish you here. If you do this, you get 3 years in jail. If you do this, you get fined $500,000, whatever the penalties are. It's not that kind of law. The penalty is built in. If you do not honor your father and your mother, your days will not be long upon the land because your children will not honor you and they will not take care of you. If you make covenants with the gods, many of the world, the fathers of the earth, we're not to call any man father according to Christ, and that's a very specific statement. Using the language of the time, if we go back and we find out who was being called fathers. Well, Augustus Caesar was called father. All the emperors were called Father, our Father, Patronus, our Father who art in Rome. Hallowed be thy name, because thy give me daily bread. That's where their daily bread came from, their free bread in circuses. And these were the fathers of the earth. Even the senators were called Father. So when he says, call no man on earth Father, but my Father in heaven, he's saying, don't pray to those men for your daily bread, which he goes on to expound upon in his saying, pray in like manner. Because he knew what Paul knew and what David knew and what Proverbs tells us, that what should have been for your welfare will become a snare because you're making a covenant in order to obtain benefits from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And Christ said it was not to be that way with you because he knew it would be a snare and a trap. It would bring you back into bondage, because what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You will be held accountable. When the people said to Samuel, let's have a king. And Samuel was displeased by this, but God told Samuel, let them have a king. They've already rejected me. That's why they want a king. That's why they want a ruler. That's why they want a president. That's why they want a prime minister. They want somebody to rule over them. And mostly what they want is somebody to rule over their neighbor and force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare in these schemes like Herod the Great and his Corbin, to get everybody to sign up and then force them to contribute. But John the Baptist wasn't doing it by force. Everybody else was doing it by force, but John the Baptist said, do it by charity. Today, people don't even believe that you could have a government operating by charity. But you have that choice to move in that direction. That's the kingdom of God that operates by love. You can move in the direction of the kingdom of God simply by free assemblies, by gathering together. The kingdom of God was, as we said in Daniel 4:3, was from generation to generation. In Exodus 17:16, it says, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with the Amalekites from generation to generation. And the Amalekites were what? We've talked about this before. It has to do with coming from a word that's translated labor, mischievous labor, misery, travail. And of course, the mark of the beast is supposed to bring, if you look at the pornos and the other Greek words that are involved there where they talk about grievous sore, they come from a word that has to do with labor, toil, wearisome, wickedness, iniquity, and that membership with the beast, that contract with the beast that takes a bite out of one another. And we'll look at that today. We'll look at some of the quotes where it talks about taking, how do you take a bite out of one another? Well, it's very simple. We do it every day. I remember seeing an old movie, well, it's old now, was new at the time, Raising Arizona. And the guy High, who is Nicolas Cage, I believe, was receiving his paycheck, and the person behind the counter, as he gave it to him, and he looks at the paycheck, and evidently it wasn't as big as he thought it was going to be, looked a little disappointed. And the lady says something like, "In the government, she do take a bite, don't she? Takes a bite out of you, takes a chunk out of you. You owe it. You're in bondage to it because you've made covenants with it. And that's reasonable. That's good that it takes a bite, because that will make you miserable. And out of that misery, maybe we'll get some repentance, because that misery may bring you to a state of humility, realizing that, oh my gosh, we've been going the wrong way. And who's been leading you the wrong way? Your churches, because a damnable heresy has come in, and they have denied the power of God. They have denied the power of Christ. They've denied Christ was the king of a government that operated by faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. He was the king of Judea. And citizens of Judea did not have to sign up with Jesus Christ with baptism. They could stay signed up with Herod and the Pharisees with their baptism. But if you got the baptism of Christ, you were cast out of that system of social welfare that had been a trap. And Jesus, as a ransom, sealed in the blood of Jesus, you could be a part of that government. But that government operated by faith, hope, and charity. Very simple. And you could see this in Romans, and we talk about it, and we try to show people, but it's so foreign. It's so different. They don't understand how the kingdom works, how this thing is. They would rather go get the benefits of the Amalekites, even though their life will be full of labor and the system they create will take a bite out of them. They don't have any repentance. They don't have humility enough to admit they've gone the wrong way. They want to be comforted in their churches, not Christ's churches, their churches. Their churches that sing to them and comfort them and lie to them. Not necessarily consciously, but they've been lied to too. It's a strong delusion. And there are thousands and thousands of ministers out there that say you're supposed to wait for the kingdom while Christ said you were supposed to seek it. And when Paul is talking, when he says we, he is talking to people that have let go of the systems of welfare, run through the Temple of Saturn, run through the Parthenos, run through these public temples of Corbin, because Corbin was in Rome as well. And they no longer applied there for their free bread, because their bread they knew was not free, that it was taken from their neighbor and given to them. And Jesus said it was not to be that way with Christians. The modern church says it's okay to be that way. They don't make the connection. Again, see how foreign it is to people. There's a spiritual drawing of the soul where it gets you to think that this is okay. And your mind like fogs over and you don't realize it. In Matthew 21:43 says, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." He's saying this to the Jews in Judea who had the kingdom. It's going to be taken from them. What was the kingdom? It was how they practiced their religion, how they took care of one another, because that's what religion was. How you love your neighbor as yourself. Do you do it with force or do you do it with charity? If you do it with force, it's not real love. He goes on to say in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then later in Luke 22:29, he says, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me." The early church was a form of government. The church is still defined as a form of government, but it's a free assembly where people come together and learn to love one another. You have to do this as a matter of record. You have to bind yourselves together with something other than the force of contract, but by love. If you go on in Acts 17:7, he says, "Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar." What happened to Romans 13? Obey the government. Well, they were obeying the government. They were obeying Christ, and they were praying not to the fathers of the earth, Caesar, and their Congress, their Senate, who were all called, Father Cicero, Patri Cicero. That's how you addressed a senator. He was the father of the earth, saying, "Therefore, there is another king, one Jesus." They're telling you there's another king, Jesus. He doesn't rule like Caesar. He rules in your heart. and in your mind, which is where the kingdom starts. But these were people, when Paul says us and we, he's talking to people that take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. He's not talking to the modern Christian who says, oh, see, he says we are saved by faith. Not you. You're not saved by faith because you don't have faith. You believe in the fathers of the earth will save you, protect you, provide for you, give you your daily bread, your EBT card. You see, you've gone away from Christ. But your ministers say, oh, just bring money up here. We'll dance on your money and bring money up here. We'll buy big screen TVs and sound systems and we'll make you feel good. Or come to our little Bible study and we'll tell you that you're saved no matter what you do. But Christ says it's not those who say, but those who do. You go against Christ. You actually go against Paul, who said that people who do these things covet one another's goods. Have nothing to do with them. But you have something to do with them because you are one of them. You need to gather together in free assemblies and start caring about one another. And it will awaken a spiritual element in your life. It will open a door. It will open a conduit of virtue. But if you continue in the way you are, you will continue to be lost and deceived. You know, I read from Luke 22:29, but you go back to 25. And he said unto them, the kings, presidents, prime ministers of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. You shall not be so. But he that is greatest amongst you, because you've gathered together. You've networked together, not by contract, but by love, by gifting, by forgiving. Let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. Your ministers aren't serving you. They're devouring you. They're letting you be devoured by the world because they say it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. It's okay to want benefits from benefactors who exercise authority. It's okay to pray to the fathers of the earth for those benefits. But Jesus said it wasn't. Labor was the first price, the original purchase money that was paid for all things. It was not by gold or by silver, but by labor that all wealth of the world was originally purchased. I'm actually reading from the book, The Covenants of the Gods. It goes on to say, in colonial America, the ordinary citizen living on, and I'm quoting here from James Trussell's March of Democracy, 5-volume set from the Encyclopedia Britannica, says living on his farm, owned in fee simple, untroubled by any relics of feudalism, untaxed, save by himself. How could that be? Untaxed, save by himself. Saying his say to all the world in town meetings, had gained a new self-reliance, wrestling with his soul and plow on weekdays, and innumerable points of the minister's sermon on Sunday and meeting days, he was becoming a tough nut for any imperial power or system to crack. But that nut has been cracked because he has been devoured because he chose to devour his neighbor. Go read Proverbs 1, Proverbs 10. That's your assignment. You no longer own your own land. You no longer own your own property. You don't even own your own labor. This is why Thomas Jefferson said, I predict future happiness of America if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. They promise them liberty, but they themselves are servants of evil. Now, I'm not against government. It needs to be there. I'm against your dependence upon it. I'm against you praying to it for benefits that bring you into bondage. I'm against going against Christ. The government serves a purpose. You need that. If it was gone, you would have total chaos. You have woke up and you're homeless. You have a house, but you rent it. There's no private ownership of property anymore. You don't really own your property. You don't have the beneficial interest. If you read the books that we offer you for free, they quote the law. We show you the law. Footnotes are 700, 800 footnotes in each book So you can look it up. Very few people actually go and get the books that we're quoting. But there have been some that gone and went out and got almost every book that we mentioned, because we actually stuck to books that are commonly available. I could quote, you know, Bigelow. I found Bigelow's book on the law in a field in Florida on my one day off a week as I walked across the field, and there it was stacked up. And somebody had evidently stolen a box full of books and got out there and went through it, and they were just sitting in the middle of this field on a little tiny piece of cement. There evidently used to be a building there at one time, but there was a little small pad of cement, and there they were sitting. And I opened it up and read Bigelow, and he talks about equity, following the law, winking at the law. And it looks a lot like maritime law. A lot of people say we're under the law of the sea. And I understand why they say that, but it's not really the case. It's equity. It's administrative law. And that is permissible according to the Judiciary Act of 1789. And we cover all this in the book. We go through it. Every chapter was like 60 to 150 pages, and we condensed them down to, you know, 12 small pages each chapter. And big pages, it might run out to 6 or 7 pages per chapter. But the footnotes are there, and we try to link them together so you see the chain, the connecting path of understanding how this law works. But there are no answers in the book Covenants of the Gods, except for the answer to what the problem is. And the problem is you have been covetous of your neighbor's goods through men who exercise authority. And that has brought you into a trap and a snare. It has brought you back into bondage. It has brought you back to the mire because you decided it was okay to take a bite out of your neighbor. It is incumbent upon every generation to pay its own debt as it goes. You have not done that in any country in the world. All in debt. All taking a bite out of the next generation. By continuing to apply for benefits your governments cannot afford. You cannot afford to continue to turn your back on the kingdom of God. You must gather together in free assemblies. That's what your churches are for the practice of pure religion, to take care of the needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity. You must act upon that understanding, or you will not be free. And the governments which you have chosen for yourself will continue to waste the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. And of course, I'm referring back to these quotes from Thomas Jefferson that we went over in previous shows in this series. Stop resisting good. Stop fighting against the good. Start following in the ways of Christ. Proverbs tells you this in 23:1. I said already read Proverbs 1, read Proverbs 10, but here's Proverbs 23:1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, a government, a man who can exercise authority, and consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to your throat, if thou be a man given to appetite, if you want lots of benefits, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meats. And of course, you hear me say it all the time, Psalm 69:22, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And you say, oh, that's Old Testament, but then Romans 11:9, Paul is saying, and David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. What is their table? That's where they get their benefits. That's where they get their daily bread. In order to get it, you have to get the number. You have to apply for their number and get it attached to you so you remember it. And according to Title 42, Section 666 in the United States, and you can find similar things in all the other countries, you can't get a business license, a driver's license, a bank account, a marriage license, any type of benefit from them. As a matter of fact, if you went into the DMV, at least in some, it's always different because bureaucracies are really kind of chaos. And that you say, well, I want to get a driver's license. They say, well, you have to have a Social Security number. And, well, I don't have one. I mean, there may be one somewhere. Well, so you don't actually have to bring the Social Security number in, but you have to have a letter from the Social Security Administration that says that you have the number for benefit purposes. And I said, I thought you wanted it for ID. And they said, no. It has to say in the letter that you have the number for benefit purposes. If you don't, they won't issue you the license, according to Title 42, Section 666. But you say, oh, I don't have the mark of the beast. Oh, my goodness, you don't think so. And then when I prove to you that you do, and why beast? Because it takes a bite out of your neighbor for you. You don't have to hear them scream or see them work themselves to death with a heart attack or exhaustion or break up their marriage because he's got two jobs and he's on pain medication, but he has to pay the tax because most of his labor goes to other people. And then, of course, there's the great tax of inflation caused because private bankers run your entire money system, which, again, Thomas Jefferson, we quoted where he said this was the most dangerous thing to America. And yet, that's the way we've gone. You don't learn these things in your free education, which is not free, but simply provided because you've taken from your neighbor. See, you're completely going against Christ. You're going against Moses. You're neither Jew nor Christian. You're all pagans. I've actually come across pagans that are closer to Christianity than those who claim to be Christian. The Christians are workers of iniquity, the modern Christians. The real Christians, they're out there homeschooling their children. I'm not saying all homeschoolers are real Christians, but that's a sign. If you're looking for tracks of faith, that's a sign. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, if you would gather together, we can show you how to do that. And your children will get a better education. They will score 30% higher according to government statistics. Homeschoolers score 30% higher. And you say, well, that's because their parents all went to college and they're, you know, being privately tutored. Well, it's not so. Many homeschoolers didn't go to college. I mean, their parents didn't go to college. But yet many homeschoolers go to college and they're actually now, there are reports that colleges want homeschoolers in their college because they're less trouble and they're more self-motivated. But anyway, that's another whole story. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Yeah, they deny he was king. Here you have Peter saying there is another king who we obey, but they deny he was king. They say, oh, no, the Jews didn't accept him. It, right there in the book, it says 2,000 one day, 3,000 the next, accepted him. Even Rome accepted him. This is the king of the Jews. The apostles, they were all Jews. They accepted him. And they are doing according to his decrees, not coveting their neighbor's goods. But your preachers say, oh, no, Jesus wasn't king. The Jews rejected him. Yet we see thousands receiving him. Are you paying attention? They're saying, oh, no, Jesus has to come back again to establish his kingdom. Yet they're saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what we're supposed to be preaching. It's like there's a cognitive disconnect. You're going against the words of Christ. You're denying the Lord that bought you and bringing upon yourself swift destruction. What you're bringing upon yourself is damnation, condemnation, binding yourself on earth and in heaven to men who exercise authority, and therefore you're trapped where they can exercise authority over you. And we'll talk more about this when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this break.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So you don't want to be praying to the fathers of the earth, which would be the Senate of whatever country or parliament, whatever country you live in, as well as the leader of the parliament, who would be the father of the fathers, the patronus, just like in Roman law. You're not supposed to be following their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The idea of living by faith, hope, and charity, and not applying for the benefits of public religion, public Corbin that is operated by force, not Corbin that is operated by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, you will be considered evil if you don't apply for those benefits. There will be people who will try to extort those benefits, extort you to go and apply for those benefits. And eventually they will even persecute you for not applying for those benefits. But I don't want to tell you to stop. You know, if you're on Social Security, I'm not saying stop taking Social Security. I'm saying start gathering together and becoming the Social Security of love, the social insurance of love, being there as assurance for one another, caring about one another as much as you care about yourself. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Through giving you shall be set free. Why giving? Because that's the character of Christ. By serving one another, Christ will enter into you and you will be awakened to abilities and powers you now know not. Your eyes will be opened. Your heart will become a conduit of the virtue of Christ. You will not need to go to the pharmaceutica. You will go to church. And they will lay hands on you. And, well, we could tell you so much about that. But why tell you if you will not repent? Why show you how the kingdom works if you will not repent? Are you gathering together to attend with the weightier matters? The Justina girl is supposedly going home now. And by the time many of you hear this, she may already be there. But how long did it take? It's because people had not come together with the Spirit of Christ. They go to their churches, but how many of their churches back them up? I mean, really back them up. All the churches in those communities, and they didn't protect the parents and the child. 18 months in solitary confinement away from her family. Harassed, deprived treatment that had made her well before. And the damage may never be completely overcome. But I tell you, if they would repent and get away from those benefactors who exercise authority and start learning how to take care of one another in real, pure religion, that you would see her completely recovered. But because you go away from the ways of Christ, you go away from His healing and His care. I know people don't want to hear that. They want to think everything. No, you're bringing judgment upon yourselves. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But people don't live by faith. They live by force, not by faith. They force their neighbor to pay my hospital bills. They force their neighbor to pay for the education of my child. They force their neighbor to sacrifice on the altars of the state so that they can have their security, their salvation in this life. The kingdom of heaven is not for the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. You have to start gathering together with the intention of loving one another, caring for one another, providing for one another. This is faith. James says in chapter 2, verse 13, where he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and have mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You have no mercy if you will not gather. If you just want the benefit, you have no mercy. If you will gather together and try to become that alternative of Christ, that alternative way of caring for one another, even if you're on Social Security, even if you're on welfare, try to gather together. We had somebody who couldn't find a job, and, you know, he was looking all over in a big city, and he got a job in the network of churches and was transported to another state, and there he's working. Now he's going to another one, and he's actually prospering. I tell you, the prospering will come in other avenues of his life if he does this with patience and love. I wish I could tell you the whole story there, but I won't tell you the whole story there. I'll leave you in suspense. But he goes on in verse 14, James says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" he asks. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily bread or daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." But you go to the churches now and you say, "Oh, we're hungry, we don't have a job, we don't have any food, we need help." They will send you to men who exercise authority. They will not provide for you. Most churches will not provide for you. They will send you to men who exercise authority and say, "Get your bread, your food from them. Get an EBT card, get signed up, get on food stamps, whatever you call it, and get the food there." And I use American terminology, but you could go to Canada or Venezuela or any of these places, and they have the same programs. Because all the nations of the world have gone whoring after the ways of Babylon. You need to be exercising that love, that mercy for one another. That's tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. But you don't do that. You say, "Go to the benefactors who exercise authority. I'm too busy praying in my church. I'm too busy, you know, setting up for the service." They call it religious service when they have their masses, their gatherings, where we pretend, where we say, "Lord, Lord." That's what we do, and then it makes us feel good and we go home. But they're not tending to the weightier matters. And Christ condemned the Pharisees for this. You got all your rituals, you got all your services, but you actually aren't being of service one to another. You don't have the substance of faith. You don't have the evidence of faith, which is the works. You're doing contrary to the decrees of Christ. Thou believest that there is one God. That's great. Thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. So you've gotten up to the capacity and practices of the devil. You believe there's one God. You know, the devil knew who Jesus was. He just didn't want to do what he said. You have preachers today, you know, I say, "Jesus says, if you love me, keep the commandments." They say, "We love him, but we don't have to keep the commandments because we have this faith, this thinking faith. We don't have the works. We don't actually take care of one another. We pray to the benefactors who exercise authority, contrary to the decrees of Christ, when he appointed the kingdom to his church, which was the remnants of Judea, who followed the true king, the highest son of David. You see, they were a government who practiced private religion based on faith, hope, and charity. And they were persecuted for it. And we show you the actual trials of Christians. What were they being tried for? But he skips over that. They were being tried because they believed in the way of faith, hope, and charity. They didn't believe in the way of force. They wouldn't sign up with the Corban of the Pharisees or the Corban of Caesar. They wouldn't register at their public temples to get their benefits. They wouldn't get their tessera, their karagma, their badge of servitude. Why? It's also what allowed them to get the free bread. But they also had to pay in, because those were the benefactors who exercise authority. The church is the benefactor who exercises love, but not your church. Your church exercises deceit. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? That faith cannot save you. That is false faith. It is a lie. You're not practicing the weightier matters, just like the Pharisees. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But that means you have to live by faith. John 13:18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He that eateth the bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Judas. And how, what happened to Judas? Evil entered into him and controlled his actions. Now, I know a lot of people out there who think they're Christians will hate me for what I am telling them, because I am telling them they are a part of a false religion, a religion of thinking only, not doing. You know, it was only 100 years ago that the church was the total social welfare of the people. There was no welfare office in the governments. There was no food stamps. It was private donations that provided food in emergencies. That's what made America great. We've all gone away from that. And Satan has entered into the modern church and says it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. It's okay to go against Christ. Just say you believe, and surely you will not die. These are the synagogues of Satan. These are the churches of Satan. And we need to repent of that. You know, when Jesus was being tried, or they tried to try him, and even Pontius Pilate washed his hands of the case, he could see the man was innocent, and that he was the king, and he wrote a royal proclamation that he was the king, and he happened to be the procurator of Rome at the time, being the favorite grandson-in-law of the emperor, Tiberius. That's right, he was married to Tiberius's granddaughter. You know, it's just amazing when you start really studying the history and connecting the Pontius Pilate was married to the granddaughter, the favorite granddaughter of Tiberius Caesar. He personally knew Tiberius Caesar, and Tiberius Caesar liked him. Did you know that Pontius Pilate became known as a great Christian and a builder of churches? That he was converted, him and his wife were converted to Christianity, and is considered a saint by many Christians, modern Christians even, because he recognized the Christ and he followed that way. And he fell out of the favor of the emperors. Of course, Tiberius died shortly afterwards. And then there was another emperor and another, Claudius, eventually, which we read about in the New Testament. And then eventually the great persecutor. And the world today is following in those same spiritual footsteps. I just got an article that somebody sent me today in email, and talking about a new litmus test. There's a fellow who talks about this. I think he has a kind of an unusual name. Jim Garrow says that the sources that he is looking at is one of America's foremost military heroes told him that there's this new litmus test of will you fire on U.S. citizens or not? And those that will get to stay in the army. Those that will not are going to be removed. Well, what the heck is that for? Now, I don't know if this is true, but I mean, some of the people they name in this article are very interesting people. Garrow himself is a man of considerable accomplishment. He is the founder of Bethune Institute, which has created hundreds of schools throughout China. It's saved thousands, 50,000 Chinese girls from this infanticide, where the girl children are not as valued in China, and they have this one-child policy, one child per family. And so there's a huge, normally there are more girls born than men. And it's the reverse in China, because they're aborting the female fetuses because they prize the male. Well, you get that situation, you're going to have war. And they've had that situation for years and years and years. And it's an unnatural event based upon the politics of that society. You see, politics is the vying for power in a government. And the power is either being centralized in a small group, or it's being dispersed. Separation of powers really shouldn't be between, you know, like the United States does judiciary and your congressional or your, you know, which includes Congress and Senate in the United States, and your executive branch, your legislative and executive branch. And they divide those three, and that's the division of power. In a free government, the division of power is your family and your family and your family. The power is divided between each family, not collectively like a democracy where 51% of the people could take away the rights of the other 49, but literally you gather together and you say, well, do we want to do this? And you decide, and if you don't want to support it, you don't pay into it. Wow. Of course, now, such a government only works amongst virtuous people. And those that are not virtuous, it won't work because they won't sacrifice for one another. They won't take care of one another. They're interested in themselves. But we've cultivated a society that promotes selfishness, promotes the separation of the people, not the separation of powers. Well, actually, it is separation of powers. Power is separated from the people and put into the bureaucracy. And they have the power. And you have become the servant of the government. The government no longer serves you except for dinner. And that's the way it is. So that's what we're talking about. I'm not interested in your political campaigns. I'm not interested in your Democratic or Republican Party or Libertarian Party. I'm interested in righteousness, not coveting your neighbor's goods. Coming together with those people who want to come together in righteousness and not covet their neighbor's goods, but take care of one another in faith, hope, and charity. And the government should be very pleased with that preaching, because it takes the burden off of them. We won't be applying for their benefits. Many of us will be still paying in, although you may be able to lower your taxes because your contributions to the church, which is taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society. It's not just building bigger buildings or, you know, having big long vacations. I mean, I don't get a vacation, and our ministers all work. You know, you'll feel our hands and you'll see calloused hands in many cases. I don't know, some of them work with computers and they may just have little calluses on the tips of their fingers. But but the reality is that they do put in the hours. And they're trying to preach the true gospel of the kingdom that sets men free. And it's not going to happen overnight. But there will come a twinkling of an eye, and there will be changes. But what you want to do is become that conduit of the Holy Spirit. That's the litmus test of Christ. You know, whether or not they're doing these other things out in the world or not, you know, I could dwell on that and talk about that and research that. I know it's going to happen because history repeats itself. But what I don't know is whether you will repent and seek to gather together with other souls who are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I only point out what the governments are doing because the governments are a product of your unrighteousness. They are created out of the spirit that you have been following. You think it's okay to take a bite out of your neighbor to have your free school, your free health care, then it's going to be absolutely okay that the government takes a bite out of you. It's just. And they should devour you. whole as you devour your neighbor whole. This is the way it works. It's built in. Now, if you repent of that and stop devouring your neighbor, stop taking a bite out of your neighbor, and come together to provide the same exact benefits, but out of love, you will get a different product. You will get a different result. And God will take the kingdom away from them and give it to you. But you have to actually really repent. You can't just say you repent. So anyway, are you getting the message of resist not evil but turning on the light? Are you getting the message to repent and turn around? Are you realizing why Christ was crucified? To show you the way, which is a way of self-sacrifice. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For the same of them thought, because Judas had the bag, the money, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Well, if this was the Passover, he's not supposed to go out. He's not supposed to be going out and buying stuff, so this is very confusing. But they were trying to figure out why he was leaving. But Christ was going to show you how far the sacrifice may have to go. He talks about a new commandment. I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you. He sacrificed himself, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. I don't see that in your modern church. I see them, if you're going to the benefactors who exercise authority, they're sacrificing their neighbor, not themselves. Ye have love for one another. Are you taking care of one another? Are you providing the mercy? Are you providing the bread? Rightly dividing the bread from house to house. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whether thou goest, Jesus answered him, whether I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We denied Christ. That's okay. We can repent. We can turn around. We can go back. Like the prodigal sons. His father's house has many mansions, he went on to say. He's preparing us a place, but we have to repent. Not this just saying you believe, but having a belief that causes us to do what Christ said to do. Love one another, take care of one another. That's where we must go. That's what we must do. That's what we must seek. In Matthew 21:43, as I said before, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. The Christians, they were the new Jerusalem. They were the new Israel. And many people provided their substance to fill the treasuries of Christ, which immediately went out like a flow. Didn't store up. It went out to the flow to take care of the needy on a day-to-day basis. You can't do this unless you network. In Proverbs 8:21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures with this flowing love for one another. Luke 8:3, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, his treasurer, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance, of their possessions, of their wealth. Why were they doing this? Because they had to take care of the daily ministration. Because when they got the baptism of Christ, they agreed to live by faith, by charity, by mercy for one another. And they could not do this unless they networked. And we've shown you in many other shows and many other writings how this is done. And this is where we need to go. It says in Micah, now gather thyselves in troops, O daughters of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. This is what we have to do. We are at war with righteousness now. We are resisting righteousness. We need to repent, come together, and start taking care of one another. And that's start giving, start that flow. And all I can do is talk to you because I don't exercise authority one over the other like the benefactors you've been going to, practicing your impure religion of taking care of one another through force, contrary to John the Baptist, contrary to Christ, contrary to Moses, contrary to Abraham. You see where we've gone with this? Are you now putting it together? And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. You're back in that land, and you're being afflicted, and you should be afflicted, because the substance of thy treasuries will give to the spoil without a price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. You have bound yourself. Time to repent. Time to turn around. Time to go the other way. Time to feed the poor and needy of your own society, gathering together in organizing yourselves. Love God with all thy heart and strength by loving one another, giving to the needy of your society, not just anybody, not to the slothful. You will weaken the poor. But those who are striving amongst you, seeking the right to be ruled by God, being friends with the unrighteous mammon for the time being until it faileth, but preparing with Christ his abode, so that your churches, which are not buildings but people, living stones, will become a true witness of the character of Christ, showing love for strangers, but certainly showing love for one another, bearing another's burdens, bearing one another's burdens, loving your neighbor within these congregations. You know, I can give you Leviticus 25:35, Deuteronomy 6:5, Deuteronomy 15:11, Deuteronomy 10:19, Exodus 23:5, Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbor. Moses said it, Christ said it. Abraham walked in that faith to wrong no one when buying and selling. Leviticus 25:14. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you are dependent upon benefactors who exercise authority one over the other, you are trying to live by works of the law, and you are under the laws of those systems. You see, you offend Christ by praying to those men who exercise authority to get benefits at the expense of your neighbor. It's really very simple. But to gather together requires repentance and humility. To take care of one another is something that we all must strive to do, as Christ said, to strive. That's what we're supposed to be striving at, not against the evil. Matthew 6, chapter 6, 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Until we meet again, peace on your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.